Let's take our scriptures, the God's Word, and turn in them to Leviticus and chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 34. Leviticus 27, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow certain persons to the Lord according to your valuation, if your valuation is of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if from 5 years old up to 20 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels. And for a female, 10 shekels. And if from a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 5 shekels of silver. And for a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels. And for a female, 10 shekels. But if he is too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for him according to the ability of him who vowed. The priest shall value him. If it is an animal that men may bring as an offering to the Lord, all that anyone gives to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not substitute it or exchange it, good for bad or bad for good. And if he at all exchanges animal for animal, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. If it is an unclean animal which they do not offer as a sacrifice to the Lord, then he shall present the animal before the priest. And the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad. As you, the priest, value it, so it shall be. But if he wants it all to redeem it, then he must add 1/5 to your valuation. And when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad. As the priest values it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicated it wants to redeem his house, then he must add 1/5 of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. If a man dedicates to the Lord part of a field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed for it. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation it shall stand. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon to him the money due according to the years that remain till the year of Jubilee, and it shall be deducted from your valuation. And if he who dedicates the field ever wishes to redeem it, then he must add 1/5 of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall belong to him. But if he does not want to redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it is released in the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord as a devoted field. It shall be the possession of the priest. And if a man dedicates to the Lord a field which he has bought, which is not the field of his possession, then the priest shall reckon to him the worth of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee, and he shall give your valuation on that day as a holy offering to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, to the one who owned the land as a possession, and all your valuation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs to the shekel. But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate. Whether it is an ox or a sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it is an unclean animal, then he shall redeem it according to your valuation, shall add 1/5 to it. Or if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. No person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. Or if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Those are God's words. The book of Leviticus, the laws of Israel for Israel and the priests concerning worship have come to an end and are coming to an end here in Leviticus 27. In the last chapter, verse 46, there you saw the summary of a lot of what had come previously in the book of Leviticus, of all those priestly laws and worship laws. But this chapter is somewhat distinct from that as it concludes the whole book, and it deals with the dedicating through a vow people to the Lord through verse 8. Dedicating by a vow animals, whether clean or unclean, through verse 13. The dedication by a vow of houses or a land, through verse 25. Verses 26 and 27, the firstborn clean and unclean animals were to be dedicated in this way, but were not to be dedicated in this way by the dedication of a vow. And then verses 28 and 29 concerning those things devoted by a strict and very solemn vow. The object of this vow was absolutely irredeemable. And so any person there under the ban, as it says, anyone that is who was restricted or to be avoided for whatever reason, given in other parts of the law, they shall not be redeemed. Whether this has to do with something in the sanctuary, it can't be sold or redeemed, or that it is someone under the ban, and thus shall be put to death. So, for example, an idolater being put under the ban because of their sin, they were to be put to death. They shall not be redeemed. They are irredeemable. Now, we see in the Scripture examples also of cities in Canaan that were under the ban, and they were to be totally destroyed when Israel came into the land, if you remember that. And then we have at the very end of this book, the law about the tithe, one-tenth, that is, 10% of the first fruits of the produce of the land they were to give, and the tithe of the flocks, that is the offering of whatever. It's a weird thing here because we don't really know much about it, but it was one-tenth of the flocks, the offering whatever objectively fell under the determination of the rod. I don't know what that is, but I do know, and what we know is that it is whatever fell under God's providence, they were to be given. And this chapter focuses our attention on one's vows. If we look at the whole chapter, it talks about and it focuses our attention on our vows, the vows that we take. The New Testament, as we consider that, because we know Leviticus has been abrogated and yet still applies, there are vows in the New Testament that show that we also are to take vows, and those vows are to be kept. And so we think of Acts 18, verse 18, that says, "After this, Paul stayed many days longer, and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow." He was under a vow. He kept that vow. And then Acts 21, verse 23 as well says, "Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow." And so you have made vows. All of you, most of you that I know of, have made vows. You're all under vows, whether children or adults. So you have membership vows to a church, our church, or another. You have marriage vows that you've taken. And the Lord here calls you to keep those vows. One of them that you have made, if you're a member here, is that you will give to the Lord's work as He shall prosper you. And that we see pointed to here in the giving of the tithes at the end of chapter 27. The first things God gives us, from them we ought to be giving to the Lord and His work. not because he needs them, not because he has to have them, but to show our love for him, our submission to him, and also for the spread of the gospel on earth. He doesn't tell us in the scriptures the manner it should be received by the church, and so whether we have a passing of a plate or a box over there, I guess, in the back of some churches do that. He doesn't say. But on the Lord's Day, he has said, when we gather, the giving should be, the tithes should be taken up, and the offering should be taken up, and it should be brought by all of us. And so keep your vows, beloved, by the strength and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful that you are a gracious and merciful God to us. We're thankful that you have provided all things for us. In Jesus Christ, you provided all things that we need. And that is salvation in Christ alone. Father, we're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures to give us life and to secure our justification. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless your people, that you would grant to us faith, and as we believe, help our unbelief. And Father, we ask that you would be glorified in our lives, that we would not be just one-time professors of the gospel, that we believe it at one time, but that we would live it out, that we would continue searching the scriptures and seeing your commandments, listening to them, and adopting those commandments and wanting those commandments to be obeyed by ourselves, that we would trust your Holy Spirit, whom you send and put into our hearts. We would trust you to strengthen us to keep your commandments. And yet, Father, we know that we've broken your commandments. As we look back throughout the book of Leviticus, we have been reminded over and over and over of Christ your Son, who was way better, is always and will be better, far beyond all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, of the old ceremonial law. He is the fulfillment of all those sacrifices. And that we're thankful that we do not have to go to Jerusalem to worship you. We don't have to go into a tent or a temple or to the temple courts and bring an animal to be sacrificed. We are thankful that every Lord's Day that you give us the privilege to worship you and you call us to come and worship you, that you bring us to yourself in many different places throughout the world. There are churches throughout the world that are hearing the gospel, and our people are genuinely and rightly worshiping today throughout the world. It's wherever we gather and the Spirit is with us, as the Spirit is in our hearts, that we are, our hearts are lifted up unto you, and we gather before your throne spiritually by the blessing of the Spirit in us and the blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we've, by his blood, have been made a way into the Holy of Holies, that very presence of God. And so, Father, we are thankful for that. And yet, Father, as we think of those commandments, the many that we saw, we think of all your commandments that are summarized in the two greatest commandments: love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. We've broken those two commandments today. We've broken all 10 of your commandments, the 10 commandments that are further drawn out from those two greatest commandments. Now, we've had other gods. We've placed other gods before you. And we've taken up and we've lifted up our families above you. We have lifted up our own selfish desires above you. And we've worshipped other gods, and so we've broken the second commandment and created images and worshipped our jobs or our money. We have taken your name in vain by not speaking holy and righteously of you, not living out and speaking, even testifying, failing to evangelize. We have taken your name in vain, because your name demands that we to proclaim it, to declare all your works before all peoples. And so, Father, forgive us of this, and also as we've broken this, the Lord's Day, and thinking of our the worldly employments and other things in this world that are unnecessary for us to think about and talk about. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sin. Father, we know the promise, if we say we have no sin, then we have sinned against you greatly. And the love of God is not in us. Father, we have sinned. And we confess them now. We pray that we would not just confess them with our mouths or in our hearts, but that we would truly repent and turn from our sin unto you. And that you would be great advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And you would hear his pleadings for us as he lives to make intercession for us. And Father, we ask that you would give us hope, knowing that we are not saved. We are not justified by our own righteousness. Our own righteousness leads us to hell and to sin and death. But Father, we pray that you would receive us for Christ's sake, for his righteousness, and that you would continue molding us to make us holy as he is holy and righteous as he is holy, righteous as he is righteous. And Father, we ask that you would bless your people. We know today there are many who are struggling in their bodies. So we pray for the Nichols family, all who appear to be sick and dealing with the flu. We ask that you would heal the Patricia and Larry who are not feeling well, and also heal Chuck's ear and his eardrum, Father. We ask for complete healing in all these. We pray also for Jeannie and her knee, and Dina and her struggling body. Father, we ask that you would bring complete healing at the right time, whether that be today, next week, or in glory. Father, we trust you that you will bring healing, because you're the God who heals, and you promise you'll do it. And Father, we believe that in faith, because you've said it. Father, you are faithful to all your words, and we trust you. And so, Father, we ask for your help. Even as we now continue in worshiping you, we ask for your help and your mercy and your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.